This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, here we are with this week's Smart TV Radio Times podcast. We aim to bring you all the best of the forthcoming television, so we watch it so that you don't have to. Now, you will notice there is a deliberate error this week. Kellyanne is not in her chair. The podcast editor has escaped these walls. We'll be back next week. But fortunately, in her place, we have David Brown, Deputy Previews Editor of the Radio Times.
I always like to be introduced as a big error. Only... Sets the tone, doesn't it?
A deliberate error, surely that's an upgrade.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
I'll take it.
All right. So, David, you're going to kick off for us this week with some drama. Then we're going to do a little bit of factual, a little bit of comedy. We've got one from the archive and some other business. That's a big tease to keep listeners engrossed. Tuned in. Okay, start.
So Manhunt is kind of like In the Line of Fire on horseback. Remember?
Fantastic. What, Clint Eastwood film with a wooden gun?
Yeah.
Right.
There's no wooden gun, but there is a gun. It's all about the presidential assassination of Abraham Lincoln and the manhunt that ensued when John Wilkes Booth went on the run. So in the Clint Eastwood role, you've got Edwin Stanton, played by Tobias Menzies, who always looks to me as though he's being plagued by a rather troublesome mouth ulcer.
Now, regular listeners and viewers will recognise him from Prince Philip in the middle series of The Crown.
That's right, or Game of Thrones.
Is he any good?
Yeah, it's really good. And I thought it would be kind of like just the two of them pitching off against one another. But the scope widens as the series goes on. So you find out all about the run-up to the assassination, who was funding it, the end of the Civil War, the fact that the Confederacy is emboldened by this act. It's all very political, but done in a really accessible way. And it never stints on this kind of ticking time bomb tension that is a part of it. Because this manhunt went on for 12 days. And, you kind of follow every twist and turn. Loved it.
Gosh. Do we see the president, or is he gone by the time we meet this manhunt?
He's dispatched pretty quickly, but you then see him in flashback.
Interesting.
So it isn't a linear narrative, as they say.
No.
It jumps about and is all the better for it.
Fantastic.
I thought. Yeah.
I love a political drama. What's your favourite ever political drama?
I do like The West Wing.
Of course.
But nowadays it feels like a bit of a fairy tale, doesn't it?
Utopian idyll of yesteryear. Who is your favourite character in The West Wing? This is quite niche, but people who did watch The West Wing will want to know, I'm sure.
As a writer, it should be Toby Ziegler.
But, it should be.
For me...
Too sad.
It's Josh Lyman.
Well, so that's the theory, is that Aaron Sorkin wrote Josh Lyman into being the most popular character. So you come for Rob Lowe and you stay for Bradley Whitford. But we could do a whole subsection on the West Wing.
That's interesting.
We will not be distracted. Of course, Alison Janney for me.
Who is in one of our other programmes that we're going to be talking about today.
Seamless segue.
Yes.
In the meantime, I offer you Beyond Paradise. Now, in a way, this is critic proof.
Yes.
And in fact, when I have run various awards festivals in my other life, wearing my other hat, when I've spoken to the BBC and I've said, do you want to nominate Death in Paradise? Do you want to nominate Beyond Paradise? They both say no, they don't want to, because they know it's not going to win, because critics are a bit sniffy about these kind of programmes. But they also say, you know what, we don't need those awards. We get the millions. And it's true. Beyond Paradise, this is what, series two now?
Yeah.
And it shows no sign of dipping. We've got Humphrey and Martha with the spin-off from Death in Paradise. Mm-hmm. Why are so many people tuning in week after week, do you think?
I think that it's because you know that it's all going to come to a tidy conclusion, and that the transgressors will be punished. Everyone ends up back in their social order where they started off from. And, you know,
it's a very conservative ideology being presented to us through crime drama.
I think so, yeah. Conservative with a small C.
Yes. Of course. What else?
I mean, I think if you do kind of put any criticism Beyond Paradise's way, then you do get that rejoinder. Yeah, but it gets 6, 7, 8 million viewers. Who are you to carp? But if I had one criticism about series one, is that it could have done with a few more murders. It was slightly lacking in bloodshed.
No spoilers, but they may have listened.
I think so as well, because in the first series, there is a homicide for Humph, isn't there? In the first episode of the new series, there's a homicide for Humph, and all the better for it, I thought.
Gosh, going dark. Okay, tell us about The Dropout.
Yeah, so The Dropout is quite an interesting thing that seems to be happening on BBC and other channels at the moment, is that they are screening US imports that have originally debuted on the streaming services. So The Dropout is an Emmy award-winning drama. It's about Elizabeth Holmes, the fraudster who said that she had this brilliant biotech device that could...
The little box in all the supermarkets across America.
I
were
know.
Going to bring instant good health don't to you, the populace.
Don't you think that kind of ominous computer boxes are having a real moment at the moment as well? We have Mr. Bates.
Yes, the post office, that blinking thing in
I
the
know.
Corner.
And now we've got more blinking ominous lights.
Is she the lady who dresses or used to dress like Steve Jobs with the black polo neck and the really fake deep voice, and then one party she had where she completely forgot to put on the voice and she came in with drinks and this squeaky little voice and everyone said, hang on a minute.
Yes.
Who's that?
Yeah, you see that actually happening. That is her way of kind of projecting this kind of no-nonsense, hard-headed business attitude, is to kind of hire her polo neck so they're kind of creeping further and further up her neck as her voice gets lower and lower.
Do you think they're connected, the two things?
Yes.
Do you think there's some trick inside the mechanism of the polo neck?
But it's a brilliant performance from Amanda Seyfried.
Well, it was clearly a brilliant performance in real life. I seem to remember her sharing the stage with Bill Clinton and George Shultz and getting money from all sorts of very flatterable old men.
That's right, indeed. And it is, you know, if you kind of miss out on these things when they're on streaming services because you're not a subscriber, then it seems to be the case that if you hold on long enough, they turn up on terrestrial TV in the end.
What is another example of that? So we've got Under the Banner of Heaven has turned up recently on ITVX, formerly of Disney.
Yeah, and we've had Tell Me Lies, which was on Disney Plus and has now been on BBC One in this kind of same post-News at 10 slot. And we've got The 12 coming from ITVX onto ITV One very soon as well. So, you know...
It's going backwards, isn't it? All this stuff about digital first, but then they creep back onto linear channels for the rest of us to enjoy.
I wonder if it's because, like, there was that writer's strike in the US last year, so they've got a little bit of a kind of gaps in the schedules and they're kind of plugging them with these shows that they've already got on the streaming services.
Great for the viewer, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had to turn on my Disney because I knew that this was coming. Similarly, that lovely film A Lost Weekend about John Lennon and his lover in LA was on something like Hulu. And I thought, oh, I can't be bothered to seek that out. And guess what? It's now on Amazon. So they're moving around the chessboard, all these intellectual properties, aren't they?
That's right.
Great
indeed.
Stuff. Good for us. A little bit of factual stuff. A Life in 10 Pictures Keen-eyed listeners and viewers will have noticed that Carrie Fisher is on the front of this week's Radio Times. That's because she's the first subject of this programme. I mean, I think it's quite fun. It's another way of telling a story. I'm not sure there's anything particularly brand new. So people in the previous series included Freddie Mercury, Tupac Shakur. I'd love to see one on George Michael. I mean, totally.
Of course you would, Caroline.
Thank you. I feel heard and known. Other people, I think I've heard that Ella Fitzgerald is going to be in this second series. It's basically, they've made these programmes. It's rearranging the same keys on the piano, isn't it? Telling interesting stories about iconic, memorable, singular personalities that most of them we've lost, and it's just a way of revisiting and admiring them.
And she does have this kind of hinterland that people don't probably know. The fact that she was like a script doctor on all these movies in America, like
fascinating
Sister
woman.
Act, yes, and Hook, and lots of the Star Wars movies she had a hand in as well in terms of writing.
And of course she wrote her memoir, which was about her relationship with her mother,
Postcards from the Edge,
yes, and was
a film in itself with Shirley MacLaine.
With Meryl Streep. Was it that one when she's lying horizontal and she moves her hands?
Gives
away all the tricks of Hollywood in one shot. So that's coming up. That's on BBC Two at the weekend and will also be on the iPlayer as well. A quick throwaway, because otherwise known as, we've not watched it yet, but we do want to alert you to The Palm Royale, which is a comedy drama which launches on Apple on Wednesday. The reason I flagged this up, it's had a glowing review in the Radio Times, courtesy of one of our critics, Jack Seal, and it stars Kristen Wiig, who I think brings the kite standard of quality.
Yes.
And it's got a cracking cast, as well as Kristen, who she plays a sort of Palm Beach social climber, about a group of middle-aged women. I'm quoting from Jack's review here. Middle-aged women rule the social roost from their perch at the exclusive Palm Royale Members Club. Maxine, played by Wiig, isn't a member and has a tenuous claim to being worthy of high society. So I think we've all seen sort of things like this before, I guess. We've seen Gossip Girl, that thing that was set in Long Island in that fake house, Revenge.
Oh, yeah.
But Kristen Wiig.
And Allison Janney.
Oh, always.
We're linking back to the West Wing.
Oh, my God. Allison Janney. And who else should we mention? We should mention Allison Janney,
Ricky Martin,
shirt on or off, and Laura Dern, Oscar winner. So, good stuff. We're going to do our homework. One of us is, probably me. And we will report back next week. But just wanted to give people a heads up that that does look good. And I saw some great reviews when it launched in the States as well.
That's Apple, isn't it? Apple TV Plus.
Okay, a little bit of archive business on the back of the Oscars. Did you stay up all night for the Oscars?
Did you? Heck. Like most people in the UK, you go to bed, you wake up, you watch the 60-second clip that the BBC has handily assembled for you the next morning. Shows you Ryan Gosling in pink Diamante. What else do you need? It's fine. John Cena in the buff.
Oh, he stole the Oscars. Ryan Gosling, I think, has single-handedly, never mind Tom Cruise saving the film industry, according to Steven Spielberg, I think Ryan Gosling can be credited for that this year. If you're me, you stay up all night because you're going on Sky News in the morning to talk about it, but then you start fretting about just how bad you're going to look.
Oh, I see. Oh, it was like a video
link,
was it?
So it was like a double-edged sword.
Dear me.
You do start thinking now, which part of the night shall I sacrifice?
Yeah. Which designer were you wearing?
Who was I wearing? Come on. my Spanish tailor, Zara.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, a little bit of archive business then. On the back of it, Oppenheimer. Obviously, it took everything. It got 7 awards. I think it was actually robbed of Best Sound. Controversial. I know that that isn't the story of the week, that Oppenheimer was robbed of anything. But I do think it deserved perhaps something for sound as well.
It was
that
a whole
stunning
mood,
look.
Wasn't it, that soundtrack?
I mean, goodness me. There is a 7-part drama series on the iPlayer. This is an old one. This was made in 1980, starring Sam Waterston as J. Robert Oppenheimer. People who've been to see it at the cinema need no telling of the story, but over 7 much more luxurious hours, I mean, some might say that Christopher Nolan nearly hit the 7-hour marker. But this is even more intense and profound, and just an exploration of both the ethical dilemmas at the heart of his stunning scientific work, but also his very complicated personal and political life. So lots to recommend it, including, I believe, a favourite of yours, Sam Waterston, in that central role.
Yeah, who also plays George Shultz in The Dropout. It's kismet.
What a web we weave.
I know, and he has just bowed out of Law and Order. in America.
After how many years?
Well, they had a bit of a break, you know, with Law and Order, but I think he's been playing Jack McCoy, the district attorney, since the early 1990s. So he's the kind of person that if he was to get in trouble in real life, he could probably defend himself in court, couldn't
probably
he?
Probably knows more law than Donald Trump's lawyer.
Yes, and he's an absolute star, and I will miss him on Law and Order. And he stars as Oppenheimer in the aforementioned BBC Four.
He's one of those lovely, reassuring, kind of everyman paterfamilias.
Absolutely.
That vibe of gravity and authority, doesn't he? He's a wise old man.
And I liked it when he retired from Law and Order at the age of 83. He said, I'm looking forward to my next project. You know, not putting his feet up.
It's like William Shatner.
Yeah.
Takes the special liquids.
Yeah, God love him. God love
Talking of stately exits, this is our final bit of business. Now, David, you are a bit of an expert on this. We are talking, of course, about Charlie's exit from Casualty. What can you tell us?
Well, anybody who watched Casualty last Saturday will have seen that Charlie got stabbed at the end of the episode. So his life currently hangs in the balance. So no spoilers as to what is going to happen. I have seen the episode, but Charlie has faced numerous crises over the years. You know, he's been...
They wouldn't do that, would they?
Well, over the years, he's been shot, he's been held hostage, he's been run over, he's endured a pulmonary embolism, and he's had a couple of heart attacks. So a bit like Trigger's broom in Only Fools and Horses, there isn't much of the original Charlie left.
No, there really isn't.
But if anybody can survive this, it's Charlie. But I do kind of worry for everyone who's now left in that department, because he's essentially been their human shield since 1986. So they're all now very vulnerable once he goes. But much like Sam Waterston...
Do you mean in real life or on screen?
On screen.
Right, okay.
Yeah, on screen.
He's the Casualty cornerstone.
Yeah, he's the load-bearing wall and the Saturday night.
In what way is he like Sam Waterston? Go on.
Well, he is also not retiring. He is going to be seen next in the second series of Blue Lights.
Mm-hmm.
So good on Derek Thompson. You know, he did have a career before Casualty.
Yep.
He was on the
Play
long
School.
Was he on the Play School?
No, I feel like I saw him in children's telly.
Oh,
I mean, maybe I was just a child before he started Casualty. Maybe it's that long ago.
He was in The Long Good Friday. He was Bob Hoskins' henchman. And he was also Jill Gascoigne's sidekick on The Gentle Touch.
Beautiful theme tune.
Yes.
We might have to play that later.
So he is going to have more to do in his acting career, which is heartening, isn't it? Good on you, Derek Thompson.
Shaken off those overalls. People do it, though. I mean, look at somebody like Hugh Laurie, somebody like Neil Morrissey. When they...
Never before said in the same sentence.
Random pairing. Ben Miller. We talked about this in the context of Death in Paradise. Ben Miller told me once, clang, sorry, name drop, asterisk, never quit the hit. He was always told, never quit the hit. And you do get the likes of Adam Woodyatt, Ian Beale, Stephen Dennis,
yes,
and Neighbours, and they go away and they try their luck, and then they kind of come mournfully back dragging their suitcase full of ambition behind them. But as you say, Blue Lights, goodness me, well, that's a great gig to get on the back of anything. So,
absolutely.
So go Derek, we say. That is all for this week. I'm hoping, for her sake, that Kellyanne returns safely into this chair. But in the meantime, it's been wonderful having this deliberate error beside me. And I thank
you,
David,
typo,
for sitting in. And in the meantime, happy
viewing!